That was a good lesson, a very challenging story, but Daniel stayed faithful to God. How many of you noticed the flag at half-staff this morning? Anybody noticed driving up? A few of you did, and you probably might be wondering, why is the flag at half-staff? I'm on an email service that prompts me when the flag's supposed to be at half-staff. And this is National Fallen Firefighters Memorial Day. So this weekend there's been activities around the country, both U.S. and Canada celebrate this together. And so there's different things going on. We had nothing scheduled in our town, and I wasn't aware of ones in any neighboring towns, but that's why the flag's at half staff today. And this begins what they call Fire Prevention Week as well. So we'll have activities at our local fire station this week. The kids will walk over from the school, and we do a number of drills. But as a reminder to all of you, in October, it's a great time to change your smoke detector batteries. You just do it every October and it's done. And make sure it's working, hit the test button. The second thing is, if you don't have a carbon monoxide detector, please buy one this week. Write that down and get a carbon monoxide detector. That is still a silent, deadly, smokeless, you don't see smoke. It's invisible, you can't taste it, you can't smell it. But it is a fatal gas. It is given off by any device that burns something. In every one of our homes, we have something that burns something. You're making heat with something. So those are very important tools. And by the way, if your carbon monoxide detector goes off, what should you do? Don't tell me pull the battery. You need to get out of the house, get fresh air. And this helps us, leave the house alone. Don't air out the house. Call 911. We'll come over. We've got tools so we can measure how much is in the air and hopefully find out where it's coming from. So people will air out the house, and then it's a little trickier to find out. You're going to go close the doors, go back in. It's going to happen all over again. That's what we don't want. So carbon monoxide detector, very important tool. Okay. Oh, by the way, do you know who the guys are in the picture? Fire chiefs past and present. So on your left is retired Chief Bill St. Michel. On the right is our new chief, Joseph Moore. So, and we have an open house this coming Saturday if you want to go over and meet him and meet some of the troops. I think that runs from like 11 to 3. Do you remember anybody? Something like that. It's something like 11 to 3. And then also next Saturday, we have the Shiloh History Tour put on by the Durham Historical Society, and that's at 2 p.m., but you have to have a ticket for that. So I don't know if they're sold out or not. Does anybody know? I don't know. I haven't heard anything. So there'll be three of us here anyway, me and Linda and Jeff, because we're doing the tour. Okay, how many of you like a good mystery? Anybody like a good mystery? How many of you read or have read in the past with some regularity mysteries? I have not for years. Anybody remember Tom Swift books? I'm dating myself a wee bit. And mysteries. PBS has a series. There's different channels that do it. Murder, She Wrote and all that stuff. Murder mysteries. Mysteries. A lot of people like a mystery. Some of you, how many do TV show mysteries? You won't read a book, but you do a TV show. Lazy people. Anyway, so here's the typical whodunit. So Sarge, what makes you think the magician did it? You can study it for a second. Some are still working on this one. This is good. What makes you think the magician did it? Talk about it after church. I love it. Anyway. So what's a mystery? Everyone kind of knows what a mystery is. We're going to talk about a biblical mystery that actually is a global mystery. Something that is difficult or impossible to understand or explain, like the mysteries of outer space. So that's one kind of mystery. The other one's the one we naturally go to. Novel, play, or movie dealing with a puzzling crime and the whodunit, how do you solve it? Clouseau. Clouseau is your favorite detective, right? Put up a couple Clouseau clips this morning. Those would be entertaining. I love those when they came out years ago, the Pink Panther series. I watch them now, and I can't believe how slow-paced they are. It's just like, my sakes, you can shave between scenes. It's terrible. Anyway, so mysteries. We're going to look at what Paul talks about as a mystery today in our study of Colossians. Discover why Jesus is enough. I love that caption that somebody else made up that I was willing to grab. And I've called this Good Answers. Are we locked up? I'm not proceeding. Try it. There we go. Better questions, better answers. We'll have some questions. The way I'm trying to do this series, at least some of the time, not all of it, is questions and answers. How many have found out life's not always easy? If you have a pulse, you know life's not always easy. Life has many challenges, some of our own making, some not of our making, some we see coming, some we don't see coming. And anyway, you know all that. So I list a few here. Although this is somewhat comprehensive, problems with relationships, family, work, school, finances, health. And if you're having all of those at the same time, you are in big trouble. And you better stay for prayer and anointing, because that's a terrible combination. Usually we get one or two at a time, and we have to work our way through those. But God is here to help us. All of these add up to stress. A statistic I just read in one of the books I'm reading is America is the most stressed country in the world. We have more people on medication or counseling treatment than any other nation in the world. Now, that statistic can be skewed because we have more of that available than possibly any other country. But what was interesting in the same study is that as people immigrated to the United States with relatively low stress levels, within months or years, they got into our boat, literally, and they were stressed out too. Their stress levels went up, even though America offers more opportunity than perhaps any other nation in the world. We are the most prosperous country in the world, and yet we have the highest stress level. What on earth is going on? Well, that's why I study Scripture, because I believe the Bible has answers to real life's problems, and we do have real life problems, so that's why we're doing this. As you know, I like to offer a verse or verses for you to focus on, study, or memorize. If you'd read this with me, this is from chapter 2. We will be reading this morning. It's in today's lesson. So read it with me, please. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So there's some clues there when Paul's writing to this small group of new Christians. He's never visited with them. Other Christians have helped them come to faith. And I think he's heard of their challenges and their needs, so he's writing this letter to encourage them. So this is lesson 3 today. By the way, our team here puts these on our church website, shilohchapelmaine.org, M-A-I-N-E.org, all one word, no hyphens, spaces, or anything, shilohchapelmaine.org. And so the way it's set up, you can have the audio track. It's really better than church because you don't have to see me. It's really great. So you can have the audio track. You can pull up the PowerPoint and go down through that. And if you so desire, you can even print the study notes. So you get the whole thing. So if you miss one and you say what was covered last week or you want to review what's covered this week, it's on our website. So I've been surprised. I've had people follow these studies from afar. And you know, if it's a tool that helps you, that's what it's all about. We want to give tools that help. So I've broken this next passage down as we start chapter 2, three categories, three ways. The mystery of the ages, because Paul talked about that both in chapter 1 and he talks about it here. He has a word of caution to these new believers, and it's a very important word of caution. And then the whole motivation, I believe, in this letter is to encourage these new believers to actually grow in their faith. To grow in their faith, and that's God's heart to yours as well. He wants you to be encouraged and to grow. So I'm going to be reading this morning in chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. Remember once again that the chapters and verses were not written by Paul. They were added many years later just as a study tool to give us something to go by. So this is all one continuous flow from the previous passage where Paul writes, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in the body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted, something that goes deep, built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So there's the first part of chapter 2, and we'll break it apart a little bit. I have an imagination. I have a very active imagination, always have. I had a great brother, older brother and sister, but I'd rather play with imaginary friends than them when I was growing up. They were far more cooperative. So in my imagination here, I think of what these new Christians were hearing and reading and what was causing Paul to write this letter. And other scholars have said there were false teachers that had come into this little group of believers who were trying to dismiss Paul's teaching and trying to also undermine the work of Christ in their lives and reintroduce them either to Jewish teachings, that's why he talks about circumcision, which was the Jewish male rite of passage into that faith, or new teachings that were outside of both Christianity and Judaism and that were based on what would become in the next century an actually growing trend called Gnosticism or extra knowledge. So the word mystery had a lot of meaning to this audience. So they're saying, the Gnostics were saying, if you get this special knowledge, everybody else doesn't have this, but you will be in this special place, and you will understand God better, and you will understand life better. But the problem was they were perverting the true person of Christ, who he was and what he did. So that's why Paul's addressing this. So I've gotten some micro print here, and we'll break this down, where I grabbed verse 26 from the previous chapter. This is chapter 1, verse 26. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what we looked at last week, which is Christ in you. And when he says Gentiles, he means every other people group other than the Jews on the planet. In other words, it's open to everybody, not just the biological Jews. It's open to everybody, which is Christ. And notice his wording here. It is Christ where? In you. In you. That's a very powerful statement. So this is a personal relationship, Christ in me. It's not that I know something about him, but I have a living relationship, Christ in me. This is the mystery. And then and from today's text, where Paul wrote, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and of the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So it's all in Jesus. The answer to all the unknown things about God, the unknown part of this plan of salvation for the human race, is all in Christ. The age-old mystery of how does God save the human race has finally been answered with the appearance and the work of Christ. That's what Paul's all excited about. That's his focus. And he doesn't want you to pull away from that central core teaching. How will mankind be saved? Through Jesus, period. Jesus only provides salvation. Churches do not provide salvation. I have not kept inventory of how many times I have heard people say to me, well, that person goes to church, so they will go to heaven. And I will go, nope, that doesn't work. I have mice that go to church in this building. They are not probably going to heaven, to the best of my knowledge anyway. It is people who have put their faith in Christ. It's not a church. It's not a building. It's not a denomination. It is the person and work of Christ. That's who gets people to heaven. And we need to understand that. And so that's why Paul goes to the warning part next. He has a caution. You know, yesterday, it was really a special day for Lois's and my extended family. Lois has, as some of you met, her sister, Lois's sister Joan was here with us last week. She's gone back to New Hampshire with her daughters. But anyway, get my generations right here. Lois's great-niece wanted to be baptized, and we were going up for a family event anyway, and then we got a text saying, can Uncle Ron baptize Larkin? And I grabbed some shorts and a towel and said, sure, we can do that. So Lois's niece, Joan's daughter, Lisa, lives on a lake, so we had a baptism in the lake. But before we had the baptism, Larkin turns, 9 years old today? So I'm always real cautious when kids want to be baptized. Why do they want to be baptized? So I like to talk to them. I like to talk to anybody. I like to talk. But anyway, so I was talking with her and her mom and dad before we had the baptism. And I have a good relationship with Larkin. She's not too scared of me or intimidated by me. She's a really sweet kid. But I asked her questions. After I was all done talking with her in the baptism, I was thinking, I wonder how many of you would answer the questions either as well as she did or correctly about how is one saved? Why should one become baptized? What's involved with that? What are we doing? And she didn't know I was going to do that, and Randy and Wendy, your parents, didn't know. We had a good little discussion together, though. But her heart was she wanted to follow God. I want to follow God. Can't beat that for an answer. And then I talked a little bit, about what Jesus has done, that only salvation comes from him, period. Not from anything our only response is to receive him by faith. But we don't do something to get salvation. That baptism isn't something you do to get salvation. You do it in obedience to Christ, and it is a wonderful experience. And it's a reenactment of that death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's a very visual graphic of what Jesus has done for us. But it doesn't save us. The thief on the cross didn't have a chance to get baptized, and Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So it's having a correct understanding of not only baptism, but more importantly, of who Jesus is and what he's done. But the problem is, and that's where the caution comes in, everybody, myself included, has opinions on how to read Scripture and how to apply Scripture. And that's why to discuss Scripture, like we're doing Monday night, if you, by the way, anybody wants to jump into that, you are welcome to come. We read Scripture and we talk about it. There's a great safety in discussing. There's no such thing as stupid questions, but there are stupid answers. So we want to go to the Bible and try to come up with the best answers we can come up with of what is God doing? What does his word mean? And so how to do that. So Paul has cautions here. These people didn't have Scripture like you and I have today. They didn't have the great study tools that we have today. But he knew there was a problem. So my micro print, I grabbed a couple verses first. Verse 4, I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. What's a plausible argument? Sounds pretty good. So if I were up here, I have a friend of mine that was a Bible school teacher when I was at New England Bible College, and he loved to bring out the earth is flat argument. The earth is, anyone believe here the earth is flat? The earth is flat argument. It's great for discussion. And, because all the things we've been told aren't really real, and the whole spaceship thing is a hoax, and the earth isn't really round. And anyway, so it's great fun to work with. Plausible arguments. Somebody can actually make something that is not true sound really good. Right? And we've all been sold stuff that we were told was really good, and somebody made a plausible argument, and then we found out it wasn't so. So plausible, believable argument. And then he goes further on to say, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. By the way, there's nothing wrong with philosophy, but it's the thing that leads you in error. Empty deceit, it's building up your ego, but it doesn't accomplish anything. According to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Paul has staked everything on the person and work of Jesus Christ, and that's where I plant my flag as well, and of course, I believe that's where you're planting yours. But there will always be somebody that asks this question, but what about this? And especially in church groups, it could be another scripture. We bring in another scripture and say, what about this? And the way to answer, especially when it comes to Christian living and behavior, is to answer scripture with scripture. And keep going back to the Bible and answer scripture with scripture. It just works better. If we go in the opinion route, my opinion versus your opinion, who wins? Yeah, the loudest and the most stubborn. At least they think they. I'll use the personal pronoun. I think I win. But anyway, that's not how it works. We go back and answer scripture with scripture. And Paul will talk about some examples of this when we get into that part next week. Because some of them are reintroducing Jewish tradition and saying, you've got to do this. And they could go to the Old Testament and say, here it is. You've got to do this. Here it is. It's in the Old Testament. How can Paul talk you out of that? So it's always going to be about what about, but you've got to answer scripture with scripture. And as we'll see in a few minutes, we are under the new covenant. Jesus started something new. We're not living under the old covenant. Jesus fulfilled that. What about? The answer totally and only and is only found in Christ. Jesus is the answer. So it's in him that I find what I'm looking for. Okay, the next part is really the meat of this text, and I call that one growing in Christ. And what I did is I put down some parts of verses in here. Can't cover everything, but I want some highlights in the next two or three slides. Some of the highlights of what he's looking at. The first one he opens up is Paul says that their hearts may be encouraged. Now, in recent years, as I continue to study Paul's writings, I have found this is one of his strongest themes, encouragement. Why would that be such a strong theme? Not too hard here, because we get discouraged. Everybody gets discouraged. I remember talking with somebody and they said, I'm fighting depression. And I said, well, I'm not a clinical psychiatrist or psychologist. I'm not a doctor. But I said, you may be dealing with discouragement. Clinical depression is a full diagnosis. But I said, everybody deals with discouragement. But we need to have tools, because the opposite of that is encouragement. How are we encouraged? And to me, the easiest way to think through this one is both by reading what Paul says, but also your own personal experience. What encourages you? What helps you? The odds are what helps you will probably help somebody else. What encourages me might encourage you, and vice versa. So if people are going through a hard time, they're dealing with some difficult stuff, it helps to have somebody else to come along and say, hey, I don't know what you're going through, but I know when I'm down and out, this helps me. So I'll tell you one thing. If I start to feel discouraged, I don't think I've ever had anything close to clinical depression, but I think like everybody else, you get these waves, I call them waves of just all of a sudden everything's built up and it's like, man, I don't know how to deal with this. I go back to God's word, and for me, one of the most powerful sources of encouragement is Christian music. I will go to Christian music. I can get in my car and put on Christian music, whether it's a radio or CD or whatever, and it's different. I can put it on in my house. I can take a few minutes, and it changes my focus. Because, by the way, discouragement is mostly a result of focus. It's what you're looking at, what your brain's dwelling on. So I've got to get out of that rut, if you will. Somebody else may help me to do that, and that's awesome when they do. But sometimes they got to say, okay, I've had enough of this negative thinking. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to sing his praises. Oh, by the way, you won't feel like doing this. That's when I least feel like listening to music, when you're kind of in a swamp like that. But you just say, I'm going to do this, and then God's Spirit steps in. You say, well, that's just emotional stuff. That's just playing on your emotions. I am, guess what, emotional. Guess what, you're emotional. Don't step away from your emotions. That's not gonna solve anything. You have to deal with your emotions. God has displays emotions all through Scripture. So the answer is, so growing in Christ, their hearts may be encouraged. And this is a powerful part of it. They were knit together in love. Knit together in love. Something that's tight, that's not easily torn apart. The strength, the love there. And I think of that in family relationships, something that's really strong. So when all those stresses come, but this is tight, I think of it very much in our church relationship. Hard things hit. It doesn't tear us apart because we're already knit together in love. We're here and have strength for each other. And then the next phrase, I had to puzzle on a little bit because I just like it so much. And this next phrase was something I didn't have for many years as a Christian. To reach all the riches of what? Full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. Full assurance. What do you think he means by full assurance? I think there are two in the Greek, well-connected words. Not partial, not maybe, but full assurance. What Jesus has done is done, can't be undone. Jesus has accomplished my salvation on the cross. I can't undo that. He's done it. But I grew up for, and it was partly my fault, but I will have to shift a little of the weight onto some of my teachers as well. I can remember years of not having full assurance. I doubted that my salvation was intact. Every time I sinned, every time I had a negative thought, whatever it was like, I am in big trouble. God is out to get me. And that was a lie. God is not out to get you unless you want to turn around. God is out to get you to heaven. That's how he's out to get you. He's out to get you to heaven. So many of you have heard this story. I can remember it. Years ago, I was counseling a young man, and we were not on the same page at all. And I said to him, what is your opinion of God right now? And he didn't hesitate. He's sitting across from my desk downstairs. He said, he's out to squash me like a bug. And he hit his hand on my desk like that. And I went, wow. Now, rest of the story. That young man had sat under my teaching in church. He had sat under my teaching in Sunday school for years. And I thought, what has been the disconnect? And I had to look myself in the mirror and say, what did I teach? What did I teach that we've missed the full assurance of the person of Christ? Now, by the way, with free will, et cetera, our separate debate, but this person is responsible for their behavior and their actions. He's not a robot. But what am I teaching? And I come back to, do I fully understand what Paul's saying here on who Jesus Christ is and what he's done? Or have I, in my teaching, muddied the waters and said, God only likes you if, and then you fill in the blank. I got to be honest with you. I think for years I did teach that. I didn't word it that way, but that's how it worked in my head. So I'm pretty sure that's what came out. Jesus said, out of the heart's what flows. So it's taken a while to get reoriented to know who Jesus is. And by the way, that comes by keeping in God's word, keeping going back to Scripture, doing this, looking at Scripture in detail, taking it apart, talking about it in study group, whatever. So it's the full assurance of who Jesus is, which is Christ, which is Christ. And everything we need there, wisdom and knowledge, comes from him. So then the challenge comes. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, and by the way, when we did that, when I did it, I was a kid. It was very simple, very straightforward. Are you a sinner? Yes. Do you want to receive Jesus into your heart and be saved? Yes. I prayed a simple prayer with my mom. It's simple. But then he says, keep on going. So walk in him. Don't make it complicated. So walk in him. And then as the growth goes on, it goes in two directions. Rooted, something deep that's stable, and built up, something that's strong and getting closer to God. I like the words built up because I think of God as up. So I'm built up in him and established in the faith. It's both directions, just as you were taught. And here, I think, is again one of Paul's common themes that he's going to come back to. He wants you to be encouraged, but he wants you to be abounding in thanksgiving. So, once again, where is Paul when he's writing this? Anybody remember? House arrest in Rome. He's on trial. He's appealed to Caesar. He is going to face Caesar. He thinks he's going to be released. He hopes he's going to be released. Maybe God's made that clear to him, but I think many people facing Caesar didn't have that kind of assurance either. So he's abounding in thanksgiving. He says that's a key. Right when you're facing the challenge, that whatever your challenge is today, I would encourage you to be thankful that God is with you in that challenge. God is with you. He has not left you alone. You may say, but Pastor Ron, I do not feel like he's there. It feels like he's got up and left the building. And that may be the emotional experience you're going through. But I can tell you from God's word, he has not. When God's Spirit comes into your heart, he does not leave the building. He stays with you. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. The Spirit who will abide with you forever. Great verses there. Abounding in thanksgiving. So he wraps it up. You who were dead in your trespasses, the uncircumcision of your flesh, he's looking back at the Jewish analogy, God made alive together with him. Dead people cannot save themselves. Only Jesus saves us when we are dead in our sins. It's nothing that I can do to save myself. Dead people do not save themselves. God is the one who saves us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And because Jesus went on the cross, having forgiven us what? All our sins. Remember the first time I heard someone say, all your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. And I went, wow, is that true? Is that true? Woohoo, let's go sin. No, that's not how it works. But God has done it in Christ. Because Christ is his once-for-all sacrifice has covered all sins. He has covered those as we walk in faith with him. But as every believer, I think, experiences in our walk, we don't want to sin because we want to please our Savior. Love motivates us to get closer to him. Love is the greatest motivation as a restraint against sin. Having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. We had broken God's laws. We were helpless. We were doomed. And Jesus saved us. So what does it mean to be free in Christ? I don't know if you can read these phrases. I found this slide and I really liked it. A lot of the doubts and challenges that come, either from a poor understanding of Scripture, bad teaching, what have you, it can come from all kinds of ways, but I've been a Christian for a long time. Why don't I feel like I'm growing? Anyone ever experienced that? I'll raise my hand on that one. How do I renew my mind? Paul answers that in Romans. Great hint. Renewal of our minds. I'm still struggling, and I know the Word says I'm free. You need to believe it and work on that as the truth. You say, well, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with this form of addiction. I'm struggling with so many negative thoughts. Keep coming back to, I am free in Christ, and then build from that. And talk to someone and get some encouragement. Find some tools. I feel like I've hit a wall. I've had periods of that. Just like, boom, nothing is moving here. And I pray and I feel like, God, I know you're there, but it's just not working. Keep going. Don't quit. Because you don't know how close you are to that answer. You may be literally moments away from that answer. And Satan, of course, wants us to quit and give up. I know God says to forgive, but it hurts. Forgiveness does hurt. It does. It's a cost. But that's something, again, God can enable us to do. Maybe those are the only two words you can pray right now to God. I'm hurting. I'm hurting. I want to believe this is there for me. But just what's going on in my life, God, he is there for you. Talk to somebody else. Pray with somebody else. I've again and again, praying out loud with another person is huge. It's not that we can't pray silently. God always hears us when we're praying, no matter when. You know. But praying out loud with another person, it adds a whole other dimension to it. At least that's my testimony and experience. If I can say, hey, I'm struggling with this, can we pray together? It's huge. It's a powerful thing. if Jesus already paid for it, why am I not walking in it? I've had those moments too. Hang in there. Be patient. God isn't done with me yet. I'm tired of trying so hard and not changing. And you may say that about someone else you live with. Why aren't they changing? Hang in there. Keep praying. God's not done. He's got more to do. He's in control. And that's where I come back to. Is God in control? Yes, he is. And someone a few years back put that to song, which we're going to close with. And it's simply titled Sovereign. That God is faithful in his to himself, to his word. And so when we get to the chorus, we can sing, in your never-failing love, which is true, you work everything for good. You work everything good. So stand with us. We'll sing this before we close in prayer. Our prayer, God, whatever comes our way, we will trust you. All what we need is in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's not because I say it. It's because you said it, because your word says it. We've had 2,000 years to see how when we will walk humbly through the power of your Holy Spirit, this really works. It really works. Doesn't mean we won't have bad days. Doesn't mean we won't have to struggle with doubts or fears. We do. That's just part of the life experience. But we can grow in grace as we spend time with you, as we spend time in your word, as your spirit ministers healing to our minds and to our hearts. Because there's a lot of stuff out there combating against your word, all kinds of things in life that we're told something else will make us happy, some possession, a different job, all the stuff that we hear and see that hammers against us when we know nothing will satisfy us, Jesus, the way you do. Nothing can, because that's how we're made. That's how we're made, to know you and to have that relationship with you. So I pray for my brothers and sisters here, they would find encouragement today in the greatness of who you are and what you've done. Forgive us for our small faith. Forgive me for my small faith. Sometimes I go over problems. I'm saying, God, how are you going to do this? And then it's like I hear your spirit say, I've got this. I've got it. Be patient. I've got it. We believe you, God. We walk with you. Maybe there's someone that's saying, wow, I don't know. You can have that peace in your mind and heart right now. Invite Jesus into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior. And then say, Lord, help me to grow in the knowledge of you, who you are, in relationship with you. And God hears that prayer, and he will answer. And once Jesus comes into our hearts, we are truly new creations. We are born again, as Jesus said to Nicodemus. You're born again. It's awesome. I can't imagine life without you, Lord. I really, truly can't. But you know the struggles. You know the cares, the burdens that we bear. We walk in grace. We walk in faith, not by sight, because you are with us, never to leave us or forsake us. So, Lord, not just here, but when we go and we're home and tomorrow when life kind of hits that circulator thing we call the fan and we're like, I don't know what to do with this. Help us to remember, no, I am with you always. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're not plugging away at this alone. It's not more self-effort. It's our growing relationship with you. So encourage each one, Lord, I pray, by your grace, by your spirit. Amen? Well, we will take just 5 minutes and set up for our monthly communion service. If you're a follower